Hello, this is Daniel Rendelman with the Met Ministries, and welcome to our teaching, A Personal Passover. It's my pleasure today to be sharing with you about the Passover story and about how to apply the story, how to apply this biblical holy day to our lives. And today, during our teaching, we're going to be using the sacred name of Yahweh, Yeshua. Now, the sacred name of Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, in the Hebrew, is hidden in your English Bibles behind a capitalized L-O-R-D or capitalized G-O-D. Read the preface of your Bible and you'll see that it's the name Yahweh over 8,000 times in the Scriptures. We're also going to be using the name of Yeshua, the Hebrew name of the Savior, given to his earthly mother Mary in the book of Luke in the second chapter. And perhaps you've heard this name during the Mel Gibson's movie The Passion. We'll be using that name, Yeshua, as we look to the Passover story today and as we apply the Passover message to our lives. It's a wonderful time right now to be alive. Springtime with the birds chirping and the flowers blooming and the wonderful feel of spring. You can even smell spring in the air. And every year at this time, churches, you know, are filled with Easter worshipers, folks coming for sunrise services first thing in the morning. Now let's be honest here. It's during Easter and Christmas that most churches have the largest attendance. That's when a lot of people become religious. You know, people begin to wear crosses, or they read religious books, or they buy a new Bible during the Easter time. It's a popular thing to be religious right now. Even in synagogues, with the Jewish folks, the synagogues are full during Passover time. Even non-religious Jews traditionally attend services on 2 days of the year. It's Passover and Yom Kippur. Passover, they attend something called a Seder, which is the Passover meal that's traditionally held during Passover to celebrate the liberation from Egypt. And seating for these Seders is very limited. It's to the maximum, if you know what I mean, because people come and they celebrate these Passover meals. And believers prepare for Passover. When it comes to celebrating the biblical feast, it seems that it takes a lot of preparation for Passover. There's cleaning of the house. There's removing of the leaven. Making tedious plans to have everything right for the Passover meal. And yet, the Christians are also busy with Easter celebrations. And so this time, springtime, you could say it's popular to be religious. Now, friend, whether or not this is your first Passover that you've ever celebrated, or whether you've been doing this for many, many years, there's a lot of excitement when it comes to celebrating the biblical holy day of Passover. And I encourage you to go and read in your Bible the story of Passover in Exodus chapter 12 and Leviticus chapter 23 with some information on how to keep the Feast of Passover. We know that our Messiah, the Savior, kept the Feast of Passover. It says that in the newer Testament, and there is a lot of excitement. There's wonder. There's even some confusion with how exactly to keep the Feast of Passover. Yet as the years go by, it's easy to become comfortable in the traditions or rituals, and it's easy to, yeah, okay, this is how we do Passover as our family. And, you know, as you're growing in the faith and as you begin to keep Passover more and more, we are going to progress in the observance, and we attend the Seders, and we celebrate with joy. Yet many times, friend, we are all guilty of going through religious motions without fully understanding the significance of what we're doing. And let's be honest here, when it comes to Passover, there is a lot of preparation, there is a lot of tradition in celebrating the Passover, as we're going to see in the Scriptures. However, it's very difficult to fully understand, to really know the significance of the Seder, of counting the Omer, of the sacrifice, of eating the matzah, of the four cups, of reclining while you're eating, of eating the bitter herbs. There's so many symbolic parts and elements to the Passover meal that we lose a lot of the meaning because it is so foreign to us. And yet even those that have done it for years even those Jews that have kept the Passover meal maybe for 60 or 70 years, they lose some of the significance and they lose some of the meaning. And so hopefully today, through our teaching, we're going to be able to apply some meaning, some of that lost meaning, of the Passover story. Whether or not you're keeping the Passover for the first time, for the 50th time, or whether you've never kept Passover, maybe you've never planning on keeping Passover, what we want to do today is look to the Passover story and apply it to our lives and to experience a personal Passover. In the Haggadah, which is the book that is used during the Passover Seder, the Passover meal that we celebrate, the Haggadah, it has a very important sentence that we need to remember when we go to celebrate the Feast of Passover. And it says this. It says, the Haggadah says, and this repeated every year during the Seder, it says, in every generation, each person must look upon himself as though personally among those who came out of Egypt. I'll read that again so you can get the full meaning. In every generation, each person must look upon himself as though personally among those who came out of Egypt. Now, what this teaches is that when it comes to Passover, we aren't supposed to be observers, but participants. Now, this is very foreign to our mindset of, you know, going to a church service at 11 o'clock Sunday morning, watching the service, listening to the choir, listening to the preacher, maybe falling asleep while he's teaching or so, putting in our offering, and then leaving. The Haggadah and the Scriptures teach us that we aren't just to be an audience, but we are to be involved in the worship experience. We're not just to hear the word, we're not just to hear the Passover story, but receive it and take Passover personal. Let the message of Passover make a difference in our lives so we don't just learn about a biblical feast, but we experience the power of the Passover lamb. That's the purpose of this teaching today, is to help you experience the freedom, the salvation, the deliverance, and the blood covering of the Passover lamb this year and every year that you keep the Feast of Passover. You see, friend, Passover is not just a story. It's not just a religious event. It's not just a historical event, but it's an active event. Yes, it is historic. It did happen. The firstborn was struck dead, and the death angel passed over the homes that had the blood applied. And we know that the Hebrews were set free from the slavery in Egypt. This is an historic event, yet it's also relevant today, and it's prophetic for the future. So it's historic for yesterday, it's relevant for today, it's prophetic for the future. And this is important because we are told in the Scriptures that He was, He is, and He is to come. We know that this message from yesterday, today, and tomorrow has an application. For those who went through the Passover story, it was an amazing event to be able to experience. However, let's be honest, that's thousands of years ago when the Passover lamb was killed, when our ancestors were enslaved in Egypt, thousands of years ago. We're not just teaching a history lesson here when we experience and when we celebrate Passover. We're not just teaching history, but we are to be experiencing Passover. For in every generation, we are to look upon ourselves as though we are personally coming out of Egypt. And to help us do that, I'd like to just review real quickly from Exodus chapter 12 and chapter 11, some scriptures concerning the feast and the events of Passover. Exodus chapter 11, beginning in verse 6, it says, "And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Mitzrayim, through Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there ever be any more, that you may see that Yahweh does put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." And we see that in the story, we know that the Hebrews had been enslaved by the Egyptians, and the Father, through the burning bush, calls Moses, or Moshe in Hebrew, and He calls him to go tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go, that they may worship me." And so we know that Moshe goes, and he goes to Pharaoh, he goes to the king of Egypt, and yet he is told no. Time and time again, in different plagues, up to 9 plagues to this point, hit Egypt, and the water is turned to blood, and there are frogs, and there is lice, and there are boils, and there's hail, and there's darkness. And yet Pharaoh hardens his heart, and he will not let the Hebrews go to worship Yahweh. And so finally, there's going to be a great cry in the land, because the 10th plague is going to release the death angel that is going to affect and going to kill the firstborn out of every home. In Exodus chapter 12, it says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moshe." It says, "This month shall be a beginning of months to you. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, you shall take for yourselves a lamb according to the bait," or the house of their fathers, "a lamb for a bait, a lamb for each house. And if the house is too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his bait or house take it according to the number of their beings. Let every man according to his needs, you shall make count for the lamb. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from among the goats. And you shall guard it or keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evenings. And they shall take of the blood of the dome," in Hebrew, blood is dome in Hebrew, "and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper doorpost of their houses, of their Bet-Yim, in which they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread," or matzah in Hebrew, "and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. None of it raw nor boiled at all with water or mayim, but roasted with fire, its head with its legs, with its inside parts, and you shall let nothing remain until the morning. And that which remains until the morning you shall burn with fire. And this is how you shall eat it, with your waist dressed, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat of it in a great hurry. It is Yahweh's Passover," or in Hebrew, Pesach. Verse 12 of chapter 12. "For I," who's going to pass through? Yahweh speaking, he says, "For I will pass through the land of Mitzrayim," the land of Egypt, "this night, and will smite the firstborn," the Bakor, "in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods," or the Elohim of Egypt, "I will execute judgment," Mishpat, "I am Yahweh. And the dome," or the blood, "shall be to you a sign upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Mitzrayim. And this shall be to you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast or moed to Yahweh throughout all your generations. You shall guard it as a feast by a judgment forever." In Hebrew, Leolam Vaed. Now continuing on, verse 18. "In the first month of the 14th day of the month, between evenings, you shall eat matzah until the 21st day of the month at evening." And it says in verse 21 that Moses calls the leaders and he calls the families and he tells them to kill the Passover lamb. And it says in verse 22 of chapter 12, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the dome," or the blood that is in the basin, "strike the lintel and the 2 side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For Yahweh will pass through to smite the Mitzrites," or the Egyptians, "and when he sees the blood upon the lintel, upon the doorpost, and on the 2 side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. And it shall come to pass," verse 26, "it shall come to pass when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, it is Yahweh's sacrifice of Passover. For Yahweh, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Mitzrites and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their heads and worshiped." Verse 29, "And it came to pass that at midnight Yahweh smote all the firstborn," the Bakor in Hebrew, "in the land of Mitzrayim, from the Bakor of Pharaoh, the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, to the Bakor of the captive that was in the dungeon, all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up that night, he and all his avadim, his slaves, and all the Mitzrites, and there was a great cry in Egypt." for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And Pharaoh called for Moshe and Aharon by night and said, Rise and get out from among my people, both you and your children of Israel, and go serve Yahweh as you have said. Wow. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful story that we recount every year at this time, that we remember the Passover lamb and the sacrifice that was made that time. And also, of course, we recount and remember the Passover of our Savior. Now, we realize here in the story that the blood of the lamb was applied to the doorpost, that it was not enough that the lamb was just killed, but they had to take the hyssop and they had to dip the blood, and they had to take the blood and they had to wipe it. They had to smear it on the two side posts and on the upper post of the door. Now, the remembrance of these events is called Pesach, or Passover in Hebrew. Every year at this time, it says, for every generation it shall be a memorial for you. We are commanded to observe the Feast of Passover and to remember the events. The death angel, or Yahweh himself, it says, would not allow the destroyer. He was not allowed to kill the firstborn in the homes that had the blood on their doorpost. And so from that time on, we remember the Passover events with the meal, with the Seder. And yet, the Seder, friend, is only part of the story. Every year when we join together with family and friends and we have our Seder and we recount the story and we have the four questions and we have the four cups and we sing, Die, Die, Anu, it's only part of the story. It's only one way to remember. And here's a secret of Passover. The Seder is one way to remember. Another way to remember the Passover story and to experience the Passover story is realizing, friend, that we still need to apply the blood of the lamb. We still need to apply the blood of the lamb. Now, we don't need to go and take a lamb that is 1 year old and kill it and put its physical blood on our physical doorpost of our home. We don't need to kill a lamb. We don't need the blood of bulls and goats and put it on our doorpost. We need to apply the blood of the Passover lamb, our Messiah, Yeshua. And we are all familiar with the story of during Passover, how Yeshua gave his life up for us, how he was killed and he was hung on a tree and his blood was shed for us. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Corinthia Aleph, it says that Messiah, Yeshua, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So when we look to the Passover story in Exodus, we are to see Yeshua. It says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world in the book of Revelation. In Hebrews 9:26, that Yeshua appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And of course, we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In Romans 3:25, it's a very important verse in dealing with here, it says, Yahweh has sent forth Yeshua to be a substitute through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sin, that through faith in Yeshua's blood, we can have forgiveness and remission of sin through the Passover lamb who gave his life. You see, Yeshua is the Passover lamb whose blood redeems us from death, whose blood redeems us from the curse of death. Now, you might be sitting there saying, well, I know this, Daniel. I know what you're talking about. You know, I've been saved. I've been delivered. You know, I have the blood of the Lamb. You know, I've been in the Baptist church and I've sung, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood. You know, maybe you've sung that before. The blood needs to be applied just as the Israelites did to the doorpost of our homes. Not just a one-time washing, but a continual applying of the blood. Now, the Israelites applied the blood of the Lamb to the doorpost of their homes, and we are to do the same. We are to apply that blood, not just once during salvation, but continually, but even daily to the doorpost of our homes, of our bodies. You see, the scriptures say, don't you know, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the temple of Yahweh? That our bodies are the temples of Yahweh. We're told in the book of Hebrews that we are the house of Yahweh. So we are the house, we are the temple, and we are to do the same. We are to apply the blood of the Passover lamb to our house. Now, where of the house of the Israelites was the blood applied? Let's take a look at this, because this is very powerful and it's very important to understand that, you know, folks, Cecil B. DeMille got it wrong. The Prince of Egypt movie, I'm sorry, but it's wrong there too. A lot of the times when we've looked to the Passover story, we've had a misconception, a misunderstanding of where the blood was applied. So today, right now during our teaching, I want to share with you the secret to where the blood is to be applied. Again, we've always been told it's on the outside of the doorpost. In Exodus chapter 12, I want to read it to you right now. It says, "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel on the two side posts and the dome that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For Yahweh will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel, the doorpost, and on the two side posts, Yahweh will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in to your house." Okay, and then again, it says in the same chapter, verse 13, "The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." Now let's read it in context. Let's understand what's actually happening, friend. The blood was not applied to the outside of their doors. Read it again. It says, "You shall put the blood and you shall not go out of your house." It is quite probable, it is quite likely, and I believe it's true, that when the Israelites were preparing for Passover and they were getting ready to leave, they shut their doors and they took the blood of that lamb. And they took the hyssop and they dipped it in the blood of the in the basin, and they put the blood on the top and on the sides of the insides of their home. Why? Why is that? Number one, it was a sign for them. Could they see the sign if the sign was outside and they were inside? No. It was a reminder that when the death angel was let free to come, and when Yahweh came through and the destroyer came through and brought about the death to the firstborn, and when they heard the cries and the screams of the families that lost their firstborn, they could look upon the blood and know that it was still there on the inside of their homes. Not on the outside where they couldn't see it, but on the inside, because they were not to leave their homes. They could see it and be remembered and be reminded that the blood was a sign. Now, this is important because of a few purposes here and a few things we really need to grasp a hold of. That the blood was on the inside of their homes. Number one, when we apply the blood, it needs to be on the inside of our home. In our home, our house, we are the house of Yahweh. We are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And so we need to apply the blood to the inside. To the inside. The other thing we need to remember, that in Hebrew, the word for sign is ot. It says, "The blood will be for you a sign on your houses where you are, and I will see the blood and I will pass over you." In Exodus 12:13. The word for sign is ot. We would write it as OT in English. What is the OT? You could call it the Old Testament. The Old Testament, or the Tanakh, is a sign of the blood. It is a sign of telling of the forthcoming of Yeshua. And we need to take that blood and we need to apply it. We need to take that sign and we need to apply it. We need to take the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and apply it to the insides of our house, that it would be a sign that Yahweh is passing over, as we believe in the Passover lamb, that He is passing over us and the plague will not touch us. That it's a sign that the blood of the lamb is applied to the inside, to our life. Now, you think about where the blood was applied, not only to the inside, but it was applied to the doorpost, right? It was applied to the gate, right? Now, what's a doorpost? What's a gate? A doorpost is an opening. It's also an exit. It's a it's an area of movement. You follow me so far? On all the gates of the house, it's a passage. It's an opening. It's a door. So all the gates of the house, we need to apply that blood, not just to our heart, you know, as we've been taught by Billy Graham to apply the blood to our heart, but we need to apply that blood to all the gates, to all the doorposts, to all the openings of our body. Gates and doors in the scriptures are a picture of an openings of a person. Now, what are the openings? Well, look at your body. What's open? The eyes, the ears, the mouth, the nose, the sexual organs. And it is at these doorposts, friend, that sin creeps in. Where are we tempted? Where are we tempted but by our senses? And where our senses come from? But by the openings, from our sense of smell, our sense of touch, our yearning, our desires. And sin lies at the door, waiting to overtake us. In Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And Yahweh respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain or Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his face fell. So Yahweh said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you will not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." You see, friends, sin lies at the doorpost. Sin lies at the openings of the mouth, of the ears, of the sexual organs, of our nose, of all around us. Sin is there. Yet we're told here, even in Genesis chapter 4, that we shall rule over it. How do you rule over sin in your life? How do you overcome sin in your life? By the blood of the Lamb. By applying the blood of the Passover Lamb to the doorpost of your body, of your home. We need to guard them, and we need to apply the blood. You see, in Micah chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom." Guard the doors of your mouth. Now we know that the scriptures say that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the mouth is just like a door that's being flapped by the wind. It's going in and out and in and out and making lots of noise. And so we need to guard that door. We need to lock that door shut. And we need to pray to Yahweh that we would have strength to overcome the fiery mouth and the fiery tongue. It says in Proverbs chapter 17 that he who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. He who exalts his gate seeks destruction. Now, what gate are we talking about here? Well, the verse right before it says, "A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes a safety for his friend." We need to be careful that we're not allowing the gates of the eyes to lead us into sin. We need to be careful of the gate of the mouth. We need to be careful of the gate of the eyes. We remember in Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell, that it was pleasing to their eye, that the fruit, the forbidden fruit, was pleasing to their eye. You see, the eye causes sin. Our Master Yeshua says, "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It is better to go into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into the lakes of fire." Our eyes. Like that old song the kids sing, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful, little feet, where you go." we need to be careful that we do not allow our eyes to look places and to allow our mind to take us places that we don't need to be going, which takes us to the next gate, or the sexual organs and the desires that accompany them can lead to great sin. And this is a struggle that is within every man and within every woman, that the sexual organs and the desires that are led by the eyes many times, led by touch, led by thoughts or so, we need to guard those gates. It says in Jude chapter 1 verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That Sodom and Gomorrah were given as an example, that what did they do? They gave themselves over to sexual immorality. They gave themselves over to strange flesh. They allowed their body just to do whatever it wanted to do, just to be happy, just to sin any way it wanted, just to feel good. So we need to guard, we need to apply the blood of the Passover lamb to the openings, to the gates, to the passages, the entrances and the exits, if you know what I mean, of the sexual organs. And also there's an opening in the ears. There's an opening in the ears. In Jeremiah 5:19, this is important. It says, and it shall be when you say, why does Yahweh our Elohim do all these things to us? Then you shall answer, just as you have forsaken me and have served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Yaakov or Jacob, and proclaim it in Judah, saying, verse 21, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. We have ears, but are we listening to Yahweh? And we might be listening, but are we truly hearing Him? We have those. And so in the book of Revelation, it says, you know, to he that has ears, let him hear. You see, our ears, our eyes, our mouth, and our sexual organs, our openings, our nose, all of these openings of the body can be used for the tov or for the good, if the blood of Yeshua covers those, if we've applied the blood of our Passover lamb, or they can be used for evil. So we need to turn our eyes from the things that cause us to lust. We need to turn our ears to the still small voice of the Ruach HaKodesh. We do not need to allow our sexual organs just to be go free into the desires. And we need to tame our tongue to the best that we can. It says in Yehoshua, in Joshua 1:8, the book of the Torah shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So we need to be on guard for our gates and have the book of the Torah in our mouth, so our mouth does not lead us to sin. In Nehemiah 7:3, Nehemiah 7:3, and I said to them, do not let the gates of Yerushalayim of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot, and while they stand, guard. Let them shut and bar the doors, appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, one at his watch station, another in front of his house. We have got to submit our gates to Yahweh and allow the blood covering of Yahweh to protect us and to give us power and strength. One more verse here. It says in Romans 6:12 verse 13, therefore do not let sin reign in your body that you should obey its lust. Do not let sin reign in your gates that you should obey its lust. Do not present your members or bodies as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present your gates or yourselves to Yahweh as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments, or your gates as instruments of righteousness. That our body and our gates are to be instruments of righteousness. That is the purpose of our body, to be instruments of righteousness in our gates. And so we need to apply the blood of Yeshua. You see, so many times we've been told that the blood was on the outside. And so we just think that, you know what, you're always looking on the, you know, he's going by the outside, he's seeing the blood, and that's enough. but yet we know that sin creeps at the door. That sin is on the outside of the door there. And the blood of the Lamb, if we apply it, is on the inside of the door, giving us power over that sin. And we don't need to open the door. We don't need to open the gate. We don't need to open our mouth or allow our ears to hear or allow our desires to manifest in the sexual way, in a way that is not clean, that is not pure, that is not holy. We do not need to open the door to give the adversary a foothold, because what is he going to do? He's going to push open that door. And we're going to fall into sin. We need to keep the door shut to sin. Just as it says, you shall shut the door at night, and the destroyer will pass over you. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Our door post, our body has been given as doorpost to Yahweh. And so we need to apply the blood of the Lamb. Now, how do you do that? Well, maybe when you're being tempted, maybe when you're hearing things you shouldn't hear, or saying things you shouldn't say, or having desires to do things with your body you shouldn't do, that is when you pray and you ask for strength and you ask for the blood covering of the Lamb to cover you, but you would not open that door to sin, but you would allow that Passover Lamb and His blood to give you power. Now, when that blood was applied to the doorpost of the Israelites, it says very clearly in the Scriptures, it says in verse 22 of Exodus chapter 12, again, you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel or the top and the two side posts with the blood in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door. None of you shall go out of the door. They put the blood and the door shut and they don't go out. Otherwise, they'd put the blood and they couldn't go back in their house. But look at where the blood is applied. Not just to the door, not just to the inside, but it's applied to the top and to the right side and to the left side. This is important because there is a Hebrew letter that is created when the blood is applied to the top, to the right, and to the left. And it's the Hebrew letter chet. Chet. If you look at a doorpost, you're looking at a chet. The Hebrew letter chet. This letter is also symbolic in Judaism for the concept of life. You see, the word for life in Hebrew is chayim. And there's a toast when you're having a glass of yayin or wine, and you say l'chaim, maybe at a wedding or maybe at a Shabbat service or maybe at your Seder, you toast and you drink and you say to life, l'chaim, chet. And this teaches us that the blood of Yeshua, the blood of the Lamb, creates a chet in our life, creates a doorpost in our heart, and covers us, that the blood brings life. The blood makes a chet. The blood covering to the top, to the right, and to the left makes a chet, which is symbolic of life. And so we can experience life eternal as we apply the blood to the inside of our house, to the inside of our heart, and life abundant as we apply the blood to the gates of our lives, to the gates of our body, to our mouths, and to our ears, and to our sexual organs, and to our noses, that on all the gates of the house, that we can have salvation, that we can have deliverance, that we can be free from sin, we can be free from bondage, we can be free from our lusts and sinful desires. We need to apply the blood by putting it on our gates daily. And how do you do that? But by watching your thoughts, by watching your actions, by being careful where you go, being careful what you see, who you're involved with, the people that you're around. It's the Passover blood of the Lamb, because the Scriptures teach us that this, by the blood of the Lamb, is how we overcome. It's how we overcome this world and all its trials. You see, there's so much going against us today. And so the Passover story, and we can take this Passover message personal. We can apply it, not just to the inside of our heart and experience salvation through the shed blood of Yeshua, our Messiah. For He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto me, to the Father, but by through me. That we come to Yeshua. He is the door. Right? Hallelujah. He is the door. We accept His blood covering in the inside of our door, in the inside of our heart, in the inside of our life. We accept His blood covering and His sacrifice, His substitute, His sacrifice for our sins on the inside, but yet we apply the blood to the outside, to the doorpost of our house. We apply the blood to the gates, and we can overcome. For it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11, that they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. What do you need to overcome, friend? What's holding you in slavery? Who is your Pharaoh? What's holding you in slavery? The world and all its trials. Maybe you have enemies. Maybe you've got trials. Maybe it's problem. Maybe it's bill collectors. Maybe it's kids driving you crazy. Maybe there's certain temptations that are holding you back in your life. Maybe you just can't overcome a certain temptation with one of these gates. Apply the blood. Maybe it's boredom. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's confusion or worry or fear or family issues. Maybe you've had a horrible past. Maybe you've had a troubled childhood. Maybe you've got family issues today. Maybe you've lost all your friends. You've lost all your money. You've lost all hope. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's cancer or pain. Even if it's death, we are promised that the plague will pass over us, that the blood will be a sign, an oath that will be a sign for you on the houses where you are right now in the trial, in slavery, whatever is you're facing today, that when Yahweh sees the blood, I will pass over you and no destructive plague will touch you. Exodus 12:13. But he's going to see the blood covering and give you victory because you shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The death angel passed over the homes because the blood of the Lamb was applied. So we need to apply the blood of the Lamb to our lives today and experience victory and deliverance and liberation. Yet that's not all. It gets even better. You see, the verse in Revelation, it says, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they did not love their life to the end. It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. It's not enough just to put the blood covering on your house. You need to seek to share that blood covering, to share the blood of Yeshua with others. That word of the testimony, your story of how Yeshua, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, saved you from death, saved you from religion, saved you from your Pharaoh, saved you from your trials, and the death angel passed over, and that the world around you is falling apart, but you've applied the blood to the inside of your house, to the inside of your gates, and you have victory over sin and self. It's the word of your testimony. Now, the Hebrew reveals this. The Hebrew language reveals this. And I want to expose this to you, friend, that Yeshua talked often in the scriptures about eating of his flesh. He says, surely if you do not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And he talks about during his Passover meal before his death, he lifts up the cup and he says, this is my blood. And he lifts up the matzah, the unleavened bread, and says, this is my body broken for you. He wasn't instituting communion, friend. He was making references to the Passover sacrifice. He was celebrating Passover. He was saying, when you do this in remembrance of me. When you celebrate Passover, remember my sacrifice. When every year, when you gather together and you celebrate and you keep the Seder, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me because this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. And when you eat this, you are eating of my body. You are drinking of my blood. Now, this is important because the Hebrew word for flesh that Yeshua talked about, he says, you know, when you're eating of this, you're eating of my flesh. The Hebrew word for flesh is basar. Basar. And yet we find this same word in the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good news or good tidings, that publishes peace and bringeth forth good tidings of good and publishes righteousness and salvation, that says unto Zion, your Yahweh or your Elohim reigns. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good news, that brings good tidings, that brings the gospel. The good news and the good tidings. And it's the Strong's word, it's the Hebrew word basar. Strong's number 1319. Basar. The same word in the Hebrew tongue for flesh. In Hebrew, the word for flesh is the same word for good tidings or good news or the gospel. It's pronounced the same. So to eat of his flesh is to believe the besarot, or to believe the basar, the gospel, and experience life abundant. When Yeshua was talking, he said, unless you eat of my flesh, my basar, he said, unless you eat of my flesh, unless you eat of my basar, in the book of Yochanan, John chapter 6, verse 54, whoso eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood dwells in me, and I in him. And again, whoever eats of my flesh, that word flesh in Hebrew is basar. Whoever eats of the good news, of the good tidings, it's the same word in Hebrew. It's amazing, folks. The same word for flesh is the same word for gospel or good news. So we need to eat of that. We need to apply it to the inside of our homes, of our houses. In Romia, in the book of Romans, if you believe in your heart that Yeshua is Yahweh, and you confess with your mouth that Yahweh has raised Yeshua from the dead, then you shall be saved. Experience abundant life. And it wasn't just for one person in the house, but remember we read, it's for the whole entire family. All of it was to be eaten. All of it was to be shared. The testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, by eating that word. You want to eat your words? This is when you do it. By eating the words of the testimony and by the blood of the Lamb, and not loving life to the death, by trusting him through it all. This Passover, don't forget about Yeshua. Don't forget about the blood of Yeshua. Do so in remembrance of me. In all the preparation, in searching for leaven, in searching for the truth and knowing when to do it and how to do it and where to do it, in counting the Omer, in all your Seder going and all your learning, don't forget about Yeshua. Don't forget about the Passover blood in applying it to the inside of your house and making a chet and receiving life and life abundance. Get excited, friend, that Yeshua died and rose again. But this Passover time is not just a celebration of what Yahweh did for the Israelites thousands of years ago, but it's a celebration of what he's done for you, for each person. In every generation, must look upon himself as though he personally is among those who came out of Egypt. Share your testimony with someone. We said that this is a religious time, that people are celebrating Easter, they're wearing crosses, they're thinking about it, they're playing the Ten Commandments on TV, they're watching The Passion, you know, they're doing these things. Passover is an open door. I said it, it's an open door, it's an open gate, it's an open avenue to share your faith. The blood of Yeshua, because people are thinking about religion. They're thinking about the Lamb. Or they're thinking about Easter eggs, whatever. It's an open door to share your faith. In closing, friend, I want to ask you, what's enslaving you today? Who is your Pharaoh? What do you need to overcome? What's the death angel that's getting ready to pass over? Do you need to apply the blood of Yeshua to the inside of your house and accept his sacrifice for salvation? Have you accepted his sacrifice? Do you have that blood covering on the inside, but do you need to apply it to the gates of your house? Do you need to apply it to your eyes and your ears and your sexual organs and your mouth? Don't just learn about Passover. Experience the freedom of Passover. Make it personal. Make Passover personal. Take it personal. Apply the blood and let death and the death angel and all of the sins and the curses of death pass over you. For we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I want to encourage you to recommit your life today to the Passover Lamb. If you know the Messiah and you have His blood covering in your life, let's just recommit our hearts and our doors and our life to Him and pledge to Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, we bless You for the Passover Lamb, for the sacrifice. That, Father, we know that the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, but You've come that we might have life and have it more abundance. That He sits at the door and He's waiting for us to open up. That sin creeps at the door, but yet we've applied the blood of Yeshua. And we pray for victory over sin. We pray for victory over our trials and tribulations. And we pray that You would make us more like You. We've accepted Your good news. We've accepted Your flesh. We've eaten of the basar, the good news, the tidings. We've created the chet, the symbol of life in our hearts and in our lives, the doorpost. And we're asking that You would come in and sup with us, and that we would feast with You. Father, we recommit our lives to You right now, and pray that this Passover we would take it personal. We wouldn't just learn about a story, a history lesson of thousands of years ago, but we would apply this message, this freedom, this liberation to our heart and to our lives today and forevermore, tomorrow and the next day, because we're going to be tempted. We're going to have those desires. So when we are tempted, help us to pray that the blood covering would cover us and protect us and give us strength. Help us to rely upon You, that there was nothing those Israelites could do but apply the blood of the Lamb to their doorpost to stop the death of the firstborn. So, Father, I pray that's what we do. We apply the blood and we trust in You. We thank You for the blood of Yeshua that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We thank You, Father, that Your word tells us that if we confess our sins, that You are faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness through the blood of the Passover Lamb. Help us to experience freedom and life eternal. Help us to experience life abundant, that in this generation, that in this day, that we would look upon this Passover and we would experience it. We wouldn't just go to it. We wouldn't just be an audience. But we would be a participant and be changed forevermore. We give You the glory and the honor. We thank You for the blood covering of Yeshua, our High Priest and our Mediator. Amen, Vehemru, Amen. Friend, thank you for joining us today. I pray that this message has been an encouragement to you and that you can experience and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Please visit us at our website at www.findemet.com. That's findemet.com. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh cause His face to shine upon you and look graciously unto you. May Yahweh lift up His countenance to you and give you peace, and may experience the salvation and deliverance of the blood of the Lamb.